Amen. Thank you, Jeff, Beth, and Krista, this evening in our time of song. As we begin this evening, we come to our second to last sermon in this series on the attributes of God. Next week, we're going to finish it up looking at the name of God. I'm looking forward to that one, especially. There's a lot there. But tonight is the second to last one. Now, I understand there's a little game coming on this evening. Some might have an interest. I know Brother Aaron is a big Bengals fan. And so, in light of that and considering the sermon tonight, I'll let you know that a typical PowerPoint, if I include notes and stuff for you, a typical PowerPoint will be around 40 or so slides, and give or take some. A long sermon might be 50 or 60. And just for Brother Aaron tonight, I'm looking here, and this includes the songs, we have 83 slides. And so, Aaron, this is for you, brother, all right? Well, actually, I told you last week we're going to begin with a quiz. So the first 40 slides, I think, here that we're getting into it's just a quiz, okay? So this is a group quiz. We're going to work together on this one. And we're going to do these in order that, here's the hard part, in order that they were preached. All right, so here's the challenge. Now, some of you said, I took a picture last week. Some of you wrote them down. Here's my challenge. I see Mike, he's like, where's that picture? Here's the challenge. Let's see if you really want to stretch yourself, see how many we can do without looking at your notes or something, all right? Here, but I'm not that mean. I give you the first letter, all right? So the first one, we can even shout them out, although I think my boys really want to. Cameron, what's the first one? All right, there he got one. God is knowable, or God, did I write knowing? God is knowable. I think I messed up already. All right, teachers mess up on quizzes, don't they? But God is knowable. We can know all about him. Let's keep going for time's sake, though. God is, what's our G? Oh, some say good. It wasn't good. What did I hear? Glorious. Good job. All right, my boys, they might have been cheating while I was writing these. Next, God is, starts with an S. Good try, Liam. Sovereign. There we go. Somebody shouted that out. All right. God is sovereign. We'll keep going. God is, it starts with a T. Triune. Hey, Liam, we'll call on you when we get to that H. All right, buddy? All right. God is triune. Here we go to our next one. God is, starts with an I. Immutable. You are correct. I can't read the small writing. God is immutable. Keep going. Here's one. You got three. Oh, Jeff's confident on this one. God is omniscient. All right. Then we did another O. Omnipresent. There we go. That, you guys got that one. A smart crowd tonight. Here we go. Another I. Ooh. All right. Cameron, just shout it out, buddy. Nope, we already did immutable. Anybody else know this one? Infinite. There we go. God is infinite. All right, there's no end. God is, starts with an S. All right, spirit. Good job. God is spirit. This one's Liam. Liam, God is holy. Good job, buddy. He knew that one. All right, dad award there. Now we got an A. God is angry. There we go. God is angry. Some football fans tonight will be angry. God is, this one followed up angry, starts with a G. Did I hear good? Good. Good job. All right. Another G. Nope. Gracious. I heard it over there. How about an M? That is true. We're going to get there in a minute, Brother Ray. Yes. God is merciful. Good job. God is, all right, men, just a reminder, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So if you're married or perhaps you have a girlfriend, letting you know there, God is love. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. God is, starts with an F. Faithful. faithful. God is patient. God is, starts with a W, wise. Just shout it out, Cameron. You don't need to raise your hand, all right? God is just. I think my own boys want to beat you all. All right. And here was just last week. God is majestic. All right. So God is majestic. Good job. We already had merciful, Brother Jeff. All right. So there we go. We are now on slide 47. So we're getting close there. All right. Yeah. And tonight is God is blessed. And now I have to tell you this evening, I'm breaking one of my cardinal rules. I do not have just one passage we'll be turning to tonight. In fact, I didn't count, but we probably have 20-some different verses we're reading. I hate doing that. But as we're looking tonight and we consider God is blessed, it is very hard to get just one passage to talk about. What does this mean? Tonight, perhaps, even our title or the listed attribute could be slightly misleading. As we consider God is blessed, unfortunately, many have been led to believe that there is a great difference in the Christian life between joy and happiness. Often we consider that joy is the correct term for Christians because it lasts, it is eternal, versus happiness is a feeling that is fleeting. Oswald Chambers, he even wrote in his book, you've probably heard of it, My Utmost for His Highest, a very well-known, a very good book. He wrote that happiness is a wrong goal for Christians, and instead we should pursue joy. Perhaps you've heard from others, again, happiness is temporal, joy is lasting, even in hard circumstances. And yet in recent years, there's been a great debate about is there a difference? And looking back through studies, looking back through the etymology of the word, even Randy Alcorn, he wrote a book called Happiness. And Randy Alcorn, he said in a blog post, he goes, I found more than 2,700 scripture passages where words such as joy, happiness, gladness, merriment, pleasure, celebration, cheer, laughter, delight, jubilation, feasting, exaltation, and celebration are used. Throw in words blessed and blessing, which often connote happiness, and the number increases. In fact, I'll do an even more study and look it up Greek and Hebrew scholars, and they come to say these terms, especially when they were written in the early understanding of these words, would have often been interchangeable, often meaning similar or the same things. In Esther 8:16, you see gladness and joy. In Jeremiah 13:13, you see joy and happiness. Same as in, you would see that in Proverbs 23:25. And Psalm 92:4, Psalm 32:11. You'd see both terms in the same phrase or same verse. They are also used together in repetitious manners, showing that they're closely related. In reality, we can say they are overlapping terms, meaning while they express the same general thought, there might be slight differences or a different scope or function. Example being, if you heard the word from Psalm 119, precepts, commands, testimonies, God's word, scriptures, what would come to mind? We're talking about God's word, the Bible. We're talking about his commands. And yet we use them and speaking of the same thing as they are in Psalm chapter 119, speaking of God's words. Or how about in our passage this morning? In our passage this morning, we were reading, and it mentioned in one verse in Leviticus 16, I believe it was verse 21, it said, sins, trespasses, and transgressions. Three words that mean the same thing. They might have a slightly different scope, but they all meant the same thing, sin. In like manner, here's words that, as we look at them, they all are talking about happiness. In the Hebrew language, there's actually two words that are used for blessed or blessed. If you would look it up in Scripture, one time that blessed is used, it means to receive a blessing. Blessed be God, or here's a blessing that you receive from the Lord. And we are actually, though, talking about the second one today. The word blessed, that means happy, joyous, and cheerful. And so the attribute we're looking at first is God is blessed, or you could say God is happy. You ever considered that? You ever sat down and considered, is God happy? You know, when I was preparing this, and you know, I sat there and go, you know, I've never really thought about it this way. Is God, one of his core attributes, is he eternally happy? You know, dogs are unique animals in which there, in my opinion, there's nothing like a dog. We love our dog. He's great. Right or wrong, often, though, dogs will have given to them a perception based off of their looks. We have a beagle. You take a beagle, they're just happy looking. They're fun. They always seem to smile. I've yet to meet a person that doesn't just love a beagle because they're not intimidating. They look happy. Take a bulldog. I should have put a picture up for us. You know, bulldogs, they just look grumpy. They just look like they're in a bad mood. Or how about a basset hound? Basset hounds, to me, they always look sleepy, like they're about to take a nap. Or how about a Jack Russell Terrier? They look like they're in for some trouble, mischievous. Or a Chihuahua. They look like they're ready to take over the world. All right, you say, what? I love my Chihuahua. All right, you love your dog. All I'm saying is when you look sometimes at an animal and you see their face, you immediately get a perception or an idea of what they are like. We often describe people the same way. You know, he just always seems happy. She always seems grumpy. He always seems laid back, or he always seems that he's ready to explode. You don't know somebody, but you can just look at them and say, I think I know what they're like. But how do we picture God? You know, we've talked about many attributes today. We just looked at 22 of them, including tonight's, of God being happy. And we talked about his attributes. But how is God pictured? When you think of his general disposition, what is God like? How do we describe him? From experience, I can tell you, if you perhaps at times some people, they've grown up in an extremely strict home or a strict church, and I've seen people who, as a result, they look at God and they see somebody who is very strict, very judgmental, always upset, always waiting for you to mess up and fail. I've seen the opposite. I've seen people who they've spent their whole life or a lot of their life exposed to gracious and forgiving environment or church, and they see God as laid back, abundantly forgiving and kind. You know, we get a perception sometimes just in how environment and things in our lives. But how often do we picture God as happy? You ever sat there and considered God is happy? He's blessed. He's cheerful. Kathy Lynn Grossman, she wrote an article entitled "America's Image of God Varies." And this was written in 2006. And she reported that in September of 2006, sociologists from Baylor University released the result of a study looking into Americans' different views of God. A part of the study was conducted by the Gallup organization. They identified really four distinct views of God's personality and interaction with the world. According to the survey, 31, I don't know if you can read that, but I'll read it for you. 31.4% of people believe that God is an authoritarian God who is angry at humanity's sins and engaged in every creature's life and world affairs. So roughly a third of the people see God as angry, which is an attribute of him, but that's how they picture him. Another 23% believed in a benevolent God who is forgiving and accepting of anyone who repents. And still, 16%, they believed in a critical God who has his judgmental eye on the world, but he's not going to intervene either to punish or comfort. and still 24.4% believed in a distant God who is more of a cosmic force that launched the world than left it spinning on its own. You see, we Americans, this is just general Americans, it's not necessarily evangelicals or Christians, but it is my belief when looking at something like this that often as Christians, we think of God's happiness not in terms of that's being who he is, but we think of it as a result of our own obedience. We often think of his happiness based on man's actions. I'm here to tell you tonight, I believe scripturally that while there is some merit to this, ultimately, I believe that God is happy because that is who God is. But first, let me back up for just a minute. I said I think there's some merit to it. In Jeremiah 9:24, it says, "But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord." God delights when we do right. Or Romans 8:8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. God is happy when we are not living in the flesh or in response to man's sin. We see in the Bible, not just a few times, that we see God, it says he repented, or that God was angry as a result of man's sin. And so, yes, our actions, our lives can anger God. Our actions can please God. But as we have seen previously, God is always loving, even though he is always angry. God is always gracious, even though he is always just. And so too must we likewise see God as happy, completely holy, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, happy. Edward Lee said this. He said, "God's happiness is the attribute whereby God has all fullness of delight and contentment in himself and needs nothing out of himself to make him happy." He does not need us to be happy. And God does not need man to be happy. He doesn't need anything from us to be happy. It's not an emotion that is fleeting or based on circumstances. God is infinitely happy. He is infinitely content. He is infinitely satisfied. He has no needs. Notice some descriptions of God. In 1 Timothy 1:1, it says, "In accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, of the happy God." Or 1 Timothy 6:15, it says, "He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." He is blessed from all eternity. That is who he is. And so to answer our first question this evening, is God happy? The answer is yes. God is happy. He is infinitely happy. He is completely happy. He was happy in eternity past before you and I were ever created. And he will be happy forever. That is who God is. But there's more implications to this. So let's look a little more this evening. Let's see God as blessed, or see God as happy. Unlike some of these attributes we have looked at, understanding the happiness of God is more a systematic study. What I mean is this. A lot of times I like to take God's word with you, and I'd say open to such and such passage, and we try to stay primarily in that passage. And that's what we call expository preaching. All right, we're going verse by verse, or for the most part, getting the thought and the idea of a passage and building off of this. Tonight is systematic. If you've ever received a book called A Systematic Theology, or Charles Ryrie's Basic Theology, Schaeffer's Systematic Theology, what they'll do is they'll say, here's a term, righteousness or salvation or the church, and they'll go through and they'll give you lots and lots of verses. That's what tonight's like. A lot of information. So as we look through here, it's more systematic, more topical, if you would. But follow along. While we've already answered the question that God is happy, we don't need any further proof that he is happy. And yet the Bible helps us to understand, what does this mean? How do we see this in a concrete way? And so I want to show for us how we see God happy in the Bible. One way we see this, we see God is happy with Jesus. In Scripture, we see several times where God is happy or God is pleased. Here's a way for you to speak up for a minute. Can you think of a time or two where we know for certain from Scripture that God was happy or pleased with Jesus? Baptism, all right, that's one of them. Matthew 3:17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." He says, "I am happy with my Son. I am happy with what he's coming to do." Can you think of another time where he speaks that, again, he is pleased with Jesus? The Transfiguration. Good job. Matthew 17 and verse 5. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Originally, I messed up my notes. Originally, I had put not only that he was happy with Jesus, I had put that God was happy, he is happy in the Trinity. For in fact, we see it again, not only, and we see it in Jesus' life. We could go to Galatians 5:22 and see through the Spirit that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, happiness. There is happiness with God that we see, at least in this public nature with Jesus, but scripturally we also see that the Spirit brings joy. Or how about this? Not only was he happy with Jesus, we see in Scripture that he is happy with salvation. We previously already read 1 Timothy 1:1, which stated that the gospel of the blessed God, the gospel, the proto-evangelicum, which means the good news. The good news, the happy news, the blessed news. The gospel is a good thing. I quote here John Piper. He said, "It is good news that God is gloriously happy. No one would want to spend eternity with an unhappy God. If God is unhappy, then the goal of the gospel is not a happy goal, and that means it would be no gospel at all." The culmination of the gospel, when our life ends, to go to the Lord and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." A happy God. Indeed, salvation is presented as happy or a joy. Even in Matthew 25:23, it says, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Going to heaven is a joy. It is a blessedness. It is happy. You get to enter into a happiness that has always been there, where the source of happiness is, that will never fade away. And John 15:11 adds this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And this was speaking of the true vine in John 15. In Christ, because of Christ, because of his salvation, we have joy. We can be happy. So we see his happiness in salvation. God is also happy in dispensing joy, giving out joy. In 1 Peter 1:8-9, God's word says this about, because of Jesus, because of his salvation, we have received joy. He says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You receive joy in the body of Christ. Or how about, this one I don't have up here for you. For 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 10, tells us that even in times of sorrow, we have rejoicing. Hey, we still have happiness even when we are sorrowful. Or Romans 12, 15, we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. As a Christian, we are given joy by God even in hard and difficult times. Our emotions are all over the place. We have up and down days, up and down times. Even today, home, it was happy, and I get a phone call. You know, that was hard. Hearing about somebody we loved, a loved one of our own who passes away. Our emotions change fast. Circumstances change so much. But isn't it wonderful to know that one day we enter into eternal joy? Happiness that can only come from God. Happiness where the Bible tells us there will be no more weeping, no more tears, no more sorrows. And so we look today, how do we experience joy? If God is all joy, hey, God is all happiness. If we see it throughout Scripture, that He gives it, that He's happy with our salvation, that He's happy with Jesus, how do we experience this joy? So let's look at experiencing happiness. First this evening, happiness is found in the Lord. It is found in God and God alone. Psalm 145:15 says, "Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." Happy when it is found in the Lord. In this life, one cannot truly be happy, at least not to the extent that God speaks of it in the Bible, unless God is our Lord. The blessed life, the happy life, the content life, it's found in God. It is not found in earthly possessions. It is not found in people. It is not found within yourself. It is found in God because that is who He is. And even Psalm 16, verse 11 tells us, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." How can you navigate this world and all the troubles and the sicknesses and all of the problems? How do you navigate that and still be happy and not lose all hope, not lose all faith, not be worried about tomorrow? It's because you have found it in God. He gives it to you. And even as already mentioned, it is a fruit of the Spirit that we only get from God. Hey, what does that mean, Christian? It means if there is no joy, if there is no happiness in your life, every day is anger and bitter and upset, you better ask why. Because that is not a mark that we see that comes from the Spirit. It says we are given joy. It comes from God. So we pray for it. Ask for it for God. The source of all happiness. If we struggle, "Lord, I have not been happy in a while. I am struggling with this." Why would we seek it anywhere but God? Go to Him. I'm not saying there aren't times or periods of sorrow and depression. I'm not saying there's not times where it's struggling to get up in the morning or put a smile on your face. But when those days come, seek the happiness that only comes from God. He is our source. Not only is He the source, happiness is found in God's Word. I have loved going through Psalm 119 on Wednesday nights. We actually began the first stanza in Psalm 119 as the whole chapter is talking about how wonderful God's Word is, how relevant it is for every day and every issue of life. But this is how it begins in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. I think I wrote 1 and 2 up there. It's actually 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. And blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. A whole chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, dedicated to saying, look, when you are in God's Word, when you're spending time in God's Word, when God's Word is ordering your steps and your ways, you are happy. It is a joy to follow after God. It is a joy to follow His commands and to desire it with your whole heart, to make it the very thing, the map you need for life. You know, we spoke on this recently, but happy is the one who truly desires to be in and obey God's Word. Happiness. Happiness is also found in God's gifts. The things that God gives you. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts, although I would say that could be included. What I'm talking about is there are good things in life that God has given to you to bring happiness. Here's one of my favorites. Actually, I should say the second one is my favorite. This is just one of them. Ecclesiastes 9:7. Go eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. You know what that's telling you? It's okay to enjoy what you eat and drink. Enjoy these things. God gave them to you. You go home tonight and you're going to eat nachos while watching the game or cocktail sausages. Enjoy it. All right? They are fun. I was lamenting to my wife. We have cocktail sausages in the freezer. I forgot to have us cook them for the football game. But that's okay. We'll survive. We'll probably make nachos or something. Right, Cameron? There we go. Enjoy food. Or how about this one? All right, this one is going to get some of the moms happy. Psalm 127:4-5. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Happiness found in having kids. Children. Grandchildren. Enjoy your children. Especially when they're young. I say that. Mine are still young. Proverbs 3. How about another one? 3:13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. A wisdom and understanding. Another gift from God. It's a thing to be happy about. Deuteronomy 24:5. When a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken. Marriage is a happy thing. Valentine's Day, a happy day. Be happy with your spouse. That God gave you marriage, God gave you intimacy. It is a good, a happy thing. Enjoy being with your spouse. These are gifts from God. We might miss these things one day. When the spouse is gone, when the kids are grown up, and they're no longer there, when our memory is fading, perhaps we lose our taste from COVID. You don't know how long you have these things. Enjoy them. God has given you great things and to be happy with. Happiness, though, is also found in suffering for God. I say this not to tell you, go out and find ways to suffer. All right? It's not an encouragement in that sense. Rather, that you continue to serve even when things get hard. Serving God, especially when it is hard to serve God, is a joyous thing. In 1 Peter 4:14, it says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. It is a good thing when you suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Or Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, we could go all throughout Matthew 5 and look at but here's one specifically. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You can find joy in saying, I have suffered for Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and died for me. Or James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial,
For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. There's happiness when in the midst of trials and persecution, you can sit there and go, God has been good. God has brought me through this. I can suffer, not even ever to the extent that Christ suffered, but even just a little for him. What is the point in all of this? What does all of this mean for us? Here is the point. God is happy. Yes, he's angry with us in our sins. Yes, God, he has to judge sins, but God is also happy. He is eternally satisfied, eternally content. He does not need anything from us. But God also wants us to be happy. Yes, he wants us to be holy. Don't ever negate that. He desires holiness, but he also wants us to be happy and bring happiness. In fact, what would heaven be like if true happiness could not be found there? If you arrived in heaven and you get there and said, I am not happy to be here. That's not going to happen. Because God is there. And God is happy. Anything else would be most miserable. Instead, we're told it's a place of joy. So take a moment and consider if you are happy. If you are not happy, if it's struggling and hard, take a moment and think upon God and who he is. Think upon God's salvation that he has given to you. Think about God's direction. You know how to live. You know how to be right with him. You know how to be happy because of God's word. Think about all that he has given you. The wonderful food, a home, perhaps a family or loved ones and friends, children perhaps. Think about how your trials and sufferings are fleeting and nothing compared to what Christ did. But you can demonstrate that you belong to him. Find happiness in God. Because God is happy. God is blessed. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you tonight. So I consider who you are. One, perhaps as we started this series, it didn't really cross my mind how important this is. That in order for there to be joy in this world, in order for there to be contentment in days where we can smile and laugh and things that we can find pleasure in, it must ultimately come from a source who is you, God. You are happy. You are joyous. You are blessed. You are satisfied and content. Oh, Lord, I long for that day when the pains of this world are gone. And we can be with you in heaven. But today, Lord, we get a taste of heaven, a taste of eternity with you. We get to experience good things, wonderful things, things that make us smile, things that help us sleep at night, things that make us just love and enjoy being with one another. Thank you for food. Thank you for family. Thank you for spouses and loved ones. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your salvation, and thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for happiness. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff, would you lead us in a song?
Amen. Same song we sang at the end this morning. So I'll stay in place.